In 3, 2, 1. Yo, everyone, you're listening to Filmmaker Mike and the Boys. Joining me for this episode is Jester.
Twitter's new name makes me want to delete the app.
And Kuya.
Let's have an explosive time, guys.
Yeah. Hi, Cans. Hi, Barbies. So finally got to see one half of Barbenheimer. So believe it or not, last night when we saw Barbie, second weekend since its release, it was packed. Mm-hmm. And we had to choose the 9:55 screening. Took the kids with us. It's a two-hour movie.
Is it PG or is it?
It is PG-13. Okay. And I was cautious about bringing the kids. But I looked at more like parent reviews and I figured, you know what? I think it's going to be okay.
Okay.
So, and if anything, I was thinking like, if there's adult humor, the adults will get it. The kids, it'll just fly by their heads. Cause my daughter really wanted to see it. Mm-hmm. So we're like, okay, we're going to check it out. We're going to watch it. And, she loved it. She enjoyed it. I enjoyed it myself. But going back to the screenings, so the 7, 8, 9 o'clock, the earlier screenings, no more good seats. They were all pretty packed. And then also looking into Sunday morning, the first screening, it was packed. So we were like, well, we're just going to have to see it at 9:55 because there was still like a section of 4 seats that, you know, could accommodate us in the back. We like to sit all the way at the top as much as possible. So yeah, this second weekend, it is at 90 plus million. I'm sure we'll have the more accurate number tomorrow, but it is breaking box office records. Now the highest grossing movie directed by a female, Greta Gerwig. And it is also now Ryan Gosling and Margot Robbie's highest grossing movie to date. It's also broken several records from a previous Warner Brothers movie, a little film called The Dark Knight. Last Monday, it made like over 26 million, barely beating The Dark, but it still beat The Dark Knight's Monday record. So even like through the week, like it was performing really well on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, just stuff that you haven't heard of in a while. So, you know, The Flash, these are the numbers. This is the audience turnout that The Flash wishes, that Warner Brothers wishes they could have had on The Flash, or Disney wishes they could have had on Indiana Jones, or even Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible. They're saying that Mission Impossible's release date before Barbie and Oppenheimer, they should have actually either released it way earlier or waited after. Much after, because now it's been engulfed by the Barbenheimer. And that's the thing, like everyone was hyping it up, Barbenheimer, double feature. A lot of people actually did the double feature, which like, I wish I could do that, but I don't have the luxury of that time. And I'd like to take a break from my movies. I was thinking we could do like, oh, Barbie tonight, then tomorrow morning, Oppenheimer, but it just didn't work out. But a lot of people did the double feature. AMC reported like opening weekend, there's like 20,000 tickets for both movies. So,
it went viral. So I'm assuming like, you know, just because everybody wanted to be a part of that viral thing, like, you know, you're going to watch the double feature. Everybody wants to just jump in.
Right. And I think it's also the fact that, well, you've got Christopher Nolan, with Oppenheimer, and they were saying that audiences were excited to see something different, not a sequel. And yes, Barbie is a huge franchise, but this is the first Barbie live action movie, you know, separating itself from the animated movies. These are not sequels to anything. They're their own thing. And so people were just really excited to see something, which was refreshing. Because if you look at the slate of the past summer releases so far, they've been pretty much all sequels. And if there's anything that's been original, it hasn't stood out like these two movies have. So Barbie, this is from Scott Mendelson on Twitter, just earned $93 million in weekend two, dropping just 43% for a $351 million 10-day domestic total.
That's not bad.
$351 million in 10 days within the U.S. And it's already past $500 million internationally. It's I think around $700 million. So it's on its way to $1 billion at the international box office. It looks like this year's next Top Gun Maverick was hiding in plain sight all along. And then Oppenheimer, let's see. Oh yeah, currently Barbie is worldwide. Barbie is at $774 million. So most likely going to hit that billion within the next 2 to 3 weeks. And then, yeah, for Warner Brothers, it is the biggest second weekend ever, and it is their fastest movie to $300 million. And then for Oppenheimer, I'm trying to see. Let me see here.
Are they going to start a shared universe now with Mattel?
No. In fact, now that you mention it, there is a new MCU on the block, and it's not Marvel. It is the Mattel Cinematic Universe, because they are working on more Mattel-related movies.
Jesus Christ.
Here, hey, you know, I'm all for it. If they can do it as well as they did with Barbie, I'm all for it. Like, give me something new.
I mean, part of the reason why people were excited about this is because it's not a superhero movie. It's not one of those whatever things. You know what I mean?
Something different.
People are just tired. So,
yeah. Right.
I mean, like, I guess from what people have been reviewing about it, like, you know, I haven't seen it. So, like, from what I've been reading and all that stuff in the reviews, like, people actually enjoy it just because it was just a fun movie. So,
yeah, well, it is a fun movie, and yet it also goes deep. And, like, what the hell? Like, you see it in the trailer where Barbie's like, you guys ever think about death? Like, what the hell? Like, that's not your typical Barbie. Like, you wouldn't think of Barbie when you wouldn't think of death when you think of a Barbie movie. But as far as Oppenheimer, it is now in the 400 million globally. It's now made over $400 million. Oppenheimer reached 400 million globally in just 10 days, 174 domestic and 226 million internationally. Yeah. So right now, the top five summer box office movies is the fifth top five is Oppenheimer at 174 million. Top four is The Little Mermaid at 296. Top three is Barbie at 351. Soon to take over top two, which is Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 at 358. And top one is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, 378 million. So Barbie may very well overtake Guardians at two, and of course, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse at one. It's only been the second weekend within the coming. And that's the thing. It wasn't just all like hype and then nobody showed up. People are showing up. People are filling seats. And the word of mouth has been nothing. I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen a movie that's performed this well since what? Endgame? Where people are coming back, or people are seeing it again, or people are actually excited to see it. So, but yeah, saw the movie last night.
What about No Way Home?
No Way Home. Oh, yeah. Yeah, No Way Home.
Or the Spider-Man animated series. What was the other one?
Across the Spider-Verse?
Into the Spider-Verse. Across the Spider-Verse.
Across the Spider-Verse did very well. And that also benefited from multiple repeat viewings. It did twice the box office of the first movie in record time, which is great. And that ended on a cliffhanger. But now, speaking of that, the final movie of that trilogy, Beyond the Spider-Verse, has now been delayed indefinitely because of the ongoing SAG WGA strike. So that's unfortunate. But whenever we get that, I'm sure people will be really excited to see that as well. But yeah, saw the movie last night, saw Barbie, was really excited. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed the story that they had for it, and the fact that everything just worked. It, to me, it made sense what they did with it. And the cast, of course, was fantastic. Ryan Gosling was great as Ken. And Margot Robbie, of course, when you look at her, why, of course, she is Barbie. And the fact that everyone else was Barbie and Ken. And then, of course, you've got Michael Cera as Alan. Like, they actually paid tribute to the long history, the rich history of Barbie, where you also have Midge, Barbie's pregnant friend. Yeah. And there's also the Barbie that, like, has her boobs that like, it grows, which is like, oh, what the hell? Okay, I guess. And then, what's her name from Saturday Night Live? She's always great. They show her in the trailer. Like, she's the Barbie that's just, like, messed up. Like, every kid, every girl who's ever played with Barbie has that one Barbie that's just absolutely messed up, drawn on.
Amy Poehler?
No, not Amy Poehler. Let's see. Kate McKinnon. There you go.
Oh, okay.
Kate McKinnon plays Barbie, Split Barbie, or whatever her name was. Like, she constantly does the splits. Her hair is messed up. She's got marker on her face.
It's because, like, the kids play it and they do the splits all the time. And
yeah, and they cut the hair or they color the hair, whatever. So I really like that. And the fact that, minor spoilers, when every child that plays with a Barbie has a Barbie in Barbie Land, is represented in Barbie Land. So if something's going on with them, then you know that there's something going on with a kid in real life. So I thought that was really interesting. That was fascinating. It kind of reminded me of the Lego Movie, except this time they reveal that that's going on early on and not like the twist of the Lego Movie, like, you know, at the end when you're, or towards the end that you're finding out. But I thought it was fantastic. It was really well written. And I really like the soundtrack. The soundtrack is great. I was listening to the soundtrack earlier, but the soundtrack in the movie as well. Some of the stuff was hilarious. Will Ferrell, of course, was great. And the surprise John Cena cameo, which I wish I didn't know about. I wish it was more of a surprise. But then, of course, the internet does what it does. And, you know, hey, John Cena's in Barbie. And then, and not just that. It's like, fine, whatever. But even they even show you the picture of what he looks like. Like, could we like keep that a surprise? I don't know. That maybe that's just me. But I thought that was great. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was one of them.
It would have been funny if he played He-Man, didn't he? So
yeah, but no, he plays Mer Barbie or Mer Ken. There you go.
Okay.
Yeah, with Dua Lipa. There you go.
That's
yeah, neat. Yeah. But everything with the rich history of Barbie, I thought was very well done. And they even put it in the trailer. If you love Barbie, this movie is for you. If you hate Barbie, this movie is for you. Everything is in it. I thought it was fantastic and well-written and very thought-provoking at times as well.
That's the lady that directed Lady Bird, right?
Yes.
That's the only one?
And and now I want to see that. I have not seen Lady Bird. I know it was the big thing during award season. And that's what she made a name for herself. And there's also, and now that I'm looking at more behind the scenes stuff and more stuff about Barbie on TikTok, there's a very personal montage towards the end of Barbie where they took real footage from the cast family and friends. And with permission, of course, they asked them like of family and whether it was mothers, daughters, cousins, friends who have passed and who were inspirational to them. And it's in the movie. Oh, and it's cool. Like, it was really like very impactful because of, like, you think Barbie, of course, is this huge franchise and this thing by Mattel, but then the movie turns out to be, there's this very personal moment, and it's just like, and the song by Billie Eilish, which is like, wow, that was fantastic. And the fact that Billie Eilish wrote the song essentially like in a week, which is like, holy shit. Of course.
Yeah,
so
she took her time then. Nice.
Yeah. So, but yeah, it was written by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach. So there was two writers, but it was directed by Greta Gerwig, and Margot Robbie did produce the movie. She wasn't even planning on being in it. She just wanted to produce it, But when she was talking to Greta Gerwig, Greta Gerwig essentially convinced her and told her, "No, I want you to be in the movie. I will write you in the movie."
So you think she just got the royalties instead of like cash money for her payment,
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
That'd be kind of cool, though.
It's good to see very talented actors like Margot Robbie finally get the big hit that they've been waiting for, because she's been working around. She's been doing a lot of other movies, but this is her biggest hit yet. And I'm really glad that she finally got that home run that she's been waiting on.
I mean, she did a great job in Wolf of Wall Street. Like her.
Well, yeah, but she was an up and coming actor there. She didn't produce the movie. She was just a part of the cast. So this is her. This is her now. Like, because she produced the Birds of Prey, and the Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. That wasn't necessarily a big hit. So,
but she was the star, though. She was Harley Quinn.
Right, but she has. What I'm saying is the box office success of her projects, not like this.
Oh, like produced projects. Okay, yes. not acted ones, because like the first.
Yeah, problem. She has no problem. She always does very interesting and very. Fascinating characters. It's her being able to successfully deliver a box office success, and this is now that, and I'm glad that she finally got it, because she seems very down to earth and very very approachable. There's even footage of her from years ago. She's doing sign language at a red carpet for I forgot what movie. She's doing sign language. She volunteered in the Philippines back in 2015. In one of the provinces, they were there with like a village. She was volunteering. I mean, 2015, that was before the Suicide Squad. She wasn't as big as she is now, obviously. But it's cool to see, you know, someone as humble as she is, like, hey, now she's reaping the rewards and she's, you know. So, yeah, I highly recommend the movie. I enjoyed it a lot. Check it out for yourself. So I thought it was a good time. Solid 4 out of 5.
Not gonna lie, we were planning on, like, Annika and I were, Annika, my wife. We were planning on watching Mission Impossible this weekend. And then my in-laws and my parents were gonna watch like another movie. Which one? The Sound of Freedom. You know, the one with James Caviezel.
Oh yeah, that QAnon movie.
Yeah, it's whatever, dude.
I don't know if it's QAnon, but he's a QAnon supporter.
Well,
for sure.
Very related to QAnon.
Yeah, very related to QAnon.
But you know, anyways, in regards to that, every freaking movie theater in the valley here in Phoenix, Arizona, is sold out with every fucking movie. Like Barbie was sold out, Oppenheimer was sold out. That movie right there, The Sound of Freedom, is sold out. Mission Impossible was fucking sold out.
Right.
I was out like in at that point, we were just like, you know what? Let's just go home. I don't have to deal with it. It's 120 degrees outside. It was hot as hell. I guess everybody just wanted to go watch something inside, cool down. Mm-hmm. And I'm just glad that, like, it boosted everybody's it boosted the box office for everybody, just because it was nuts. I've never seen the city or this metropolitan city sold out anywhere and everywhere with the movies. So that was a shocking thing to me. So. But that's kudos, cool. Like I'll probably check out Barbie whenever I can. But it's probably not gonna be in the movies. It's one of those things. I'm just like, I don't know. I told myself there's only a couple of movies I wanted this year that I wanted to watch in the movie theaters, and one of them I watched already, and then the other one we're probably gonna watch next week, and then. The last one, hopefully, is this year, but I don't know. There's news that it's going to be delayed, right, Mike? The Dune 2?
They're saying, the guy that's running IMAX, he says no.
Okay.
And how Barbie is performing, I think Warner Brothers is not going to cancel it, because when Dune 2 releases, it's going to have like 5 to 6 weeks in IMAX.
Oh my gosh.
And the Marvels won't even get that. The Marvels is not releasing an IMAX. It's wow. all it all goes to Dune Part 2.
Hell
so
yeah.
If they cancel it, if they move it to next year because the actors can't, if the strike is still ongoing and the actors can't go around the promotional circuit and do their press junkets, and, you know, then what? You know what I mean? Like,
I think they'll be all right.
I think they should be fine.
And I think it should be fine. And now I think Warner Brothers is looking closely at how, Barbie did get to have the premiere. The cast did a lot of, you know, they got to do the premiere, their interviews and the press stuff before the strike officially started. But I think with the way that guy was, I forgot his name, but with the way he was tweeting, he was saying that Warner Brothers most likely will not cancel it because of that, the fact that Dune has that 5 to 6 week breathing room in IMAX. And when part one was released, most of its box office came from IMAX. So you can imagine, you know, now that, and I'm surprised we didn't, well, I guess it's not really a trailer you'd put in front of, but then, yeah, I'm surprised they didn't show a Dune Part 2 trailer in front of Barbie.
I was wondering the same thing, dude. Yeah, I was looking forward to that, and it never
right?
came.
Because it's like, it is a Warner Brothers movie. Why wouldn't you put it? Why wouldn't you attach it? They showed the Meg, like,
I know.
You
know,
and that's not really a kid's movie, but I'm like, dude, and now that I think about it, that's kind of concerning because you would think that they would put, so maybe now, I don't know. Maybe now they're thinking twice. I mean, I really hope they don't delay it because I really want to see it in November. Yeah. But who knows? We will have to wait and see how it goes. I am excited about that Dune Lego set.
Oh, dude, you don't even have to tell me twice.
So at least if we don't get it, if we don't get the movie, then we have the Lego set in October. Yes. So
October
first. I can build it. The Ornithopter.
Yep.
So yeah.
Is it gonna have the little vibrating?
It should.
Ones?
Well, it's not gonna vibrate. You're gonna have to vibrate it on your own, most likely.
No, it'd be kind of cool, like if they made like a little thing like that, and then when you flick it or something.
Yeah,
like,
for $500 more, sure.
They'll probably
they can do whatever they want.
They have a mechanism where the wings open and possibly like flap.
And then it'll just go like this, like naturally.
Yeah,
because it's like flimsy.
Well, it probably
that would be cool.
Like the X-wing, they have like a mechanism that opens up, you know. And they'll probably do the same thing with the Ornithopter.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That would be awesome. Yeah. So this is from or go ahead first, Jester. I know you saw the movie Friday night.
Yeah, and ironically, we actually also saw it at a 9:55 showing because everything was sold out. So the original The original game plan was to see Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer didn't have like a whole lot of screens and a whole lot of showtimes, and like they were all sold out. And I was like,
right,
you know, my wife really wanted to see the Barbie movie, so I was like, yeah, you know, we'll just go, I'll find a showing for this. And then that was almost like as hard to find a time to go see that, even though they had more showings.
I think it's also the 3-hour runtime that it prevents it from being on more screens. Yeah,
that makes so much sense.
Yeah,
yeah, because Barbie's short, it's like 2 hours, it's like
two hours. Under 2 hours. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, we went and saw that, and I remember we were walking out of the theater and my wife was like, dude, we should have just saw Oppenheimer, should have just waited. And I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think my biggest gripe with the Barbie movie was I felt like it was holding my hand as far as delivering the message goes. And I really struggle with that. And like, don't get me wrong, there was quite a few moments in there where I was laughing pretty good. I don't want to spoil anything, but you know, Mike, the ending with Ken and all the other Kens was probably like my favorite part of that movie.
You guys can spoil it. I don't care.
Well, honestly. I guess it's a light spoiler. All the Kens go to war, and like that was super funny.
Yeah,
I enjoyed that scene quite a bit. But
yeah.
Okay. So there's a Ken War. Okay, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, and the way it was done, I thought was kind of clever. But yeah, there was quite a bit in this movie where like it was holding my hand as an audience member, telling me what I should think instead of like And you know, it's sad because the only examples I have as far as like toys come to life was Transformers and the Lego movie. And you know, Transformers wasn't a message, it was just explosions. But the Lego movie had quite a few messages underlying it. Some of them subtle, some of them not so subtle. But it wasn't the plot, but it kind of was at the same time. It's kind of hard to explain. But like, if you remember the Lego movie, you had obviously there was a hatred towards capitalism. You know what I mean? There was a big one there, but it was kind of like it was undertoned. You know what I mean? And then you had the message of like, you are special kind of thing. You know, you are important. But I feel like the Barbie movie, without going into too many details, because I don't want to spoil it for people, but the narrator was like telling me what I should think and like how, and it was explaining things to me instead of, you know, things in the Lego movie. Again, I'm going to use this as an example. Things happen in the Lego movie that kids that played with Lego would only know certain things, but the general audience can still enjoy it. But certain things in the Barbie movie, you know, I don't know anything about them. You know, my wife does. And she's like, they're explaining everything to the audience. So that way everybody knows the underlying tones of Barbie and children playing with Barbies. So I don't know. I felt like there was just a lot of hand holding with me. And I felt like this is going to sound terrible, but it got kind of preachy. And I was like, okay. Like there was a couple parts where I was literally taken out of the movie, you know, of just, I'm experiencing the movie and then I'm taken out of it like by this super long monologue. And I'm like, okay, that felt really out of place. I have nothing against the message. I was just saying that, like, I just think that it's so just driving it home every chance they get. And it's like, okay, I'd rather it have the tone of the movie is set. And then you have the message right underneath it to where you have to think about it instead of it being the message. And then, okay, some of the movie, you get some comedy, some this and that. And yeah, I think, I mean, Mike was right. There's some things in it that was like really heavy. And, you know, Mike, you have kids, so I can't say, but how did your kids respond to some of the messages? Did they even think about it or did it go over their heads?
I think it went mostly over their heads. I think my daughter related to, well, she's 9. So you have that teenage character, the daughter of America Ferrera, who's very teen angsty.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, I like Barbies, like, you know, so she's not in that phase yet, but I see like, I actually want to talk to her and see like what else she thought of it, because her initial reaction was she loved it.
Yeah.
She
thought
it was great. Yeah. But I'm curious. Yeah, I think most of the heavier stuff may have gone over her head and she's reacting mostly to the visual, like the adventure, going to the real world and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why I thought it was fascinating that when the movie was about to come out and then it was like, wait, what? It's not rated PG. It's PG-13. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
No, and it makes sense because some of this stuff, I mean, again, so I personally like Barbie Land more than I like the real world, just for the sense of like, I felt more immersed into the movie and I felt like them going to the real world kind of like really took me out. I'm like, this feels weird, you know, and how they get there and back is also kind of strange. And like, I get it, but it's like, okay, this is, again, it's just odd. It's odd how they decided to do things.
Right. Yeah. The whole going to the real world and going back. It's not very clear, not like the Lego movie where it's like, oh, down the tube and like, you know, the portal or whatever.
But it's just straight imagination.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? But like, right. See, that's an underlying message, right? It's the imagination.
Yeah.
And then we're in the child's imagination.
Right.
While in this one, it's like, okay, I'm trying not to spoil, but child is the Barbie. You know what I mean? They're like, their emotions are presented onto the doll, which I understand. But it's just, I don't know. There's some things in there I just thought were weird. And like, you know, my wife's a huge Barbie fan. She loves Barbie when she was growing up. And then she was like, dude, I just kind of wish it was just about the toys. I mean, she straight up said that. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, I don't know. I walked away where like, I liked a couple things and I thought a couple things were so dumb and just so out of place. And I'm like, okay, this is weird. But I mean, I thought Margot did a good job. I really liked, Gosling, there was a couple moments where I felt like he was kind of stealing the show, and I was kind of laughing. But
oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
he plays an idiot pretty well, didn't he?
I just, you know, after watching The Nice Guys and Crazy Stupid Love, I think he has a real knack for comedy that I think should be explored some more. And I think it was in this movie.
He was hilarious in Remember the Titans, like, you know, as that the hokey country boy.
Yeah, no, you're right. I forgot he was in that movie.
He was funny as hell in that one. I was just like, yeah. Oh, okay. But that's good.
So yeah, no, I at the end of the day, I don't think the movie was for me. I was very indifferent about Barbie. That was not in the trailer. If you're indifferent about Barbie, you should see Barbie movie. So I don't think it was for me. I understood the message loud and clear. I know there's like a huge argument online right now that, like, well, some people just missed the message, and I'm like, I didn't. It was pretty. Again, they held my hand. It was very clear. So I don't think the message, again, was not the problem. It was how it was delivered. I think that was the problem. It was very, I'm not going to say forceful. That's an inappropriate word. I'm just saying, like, they held my hand, and I like kind of struggle when movies do that with any message. I feel like it takes away from the enjoyment and entertainment of the movie. And, you know, I'm not going to say that there's not a place for things like that, but I think that the Barbie movie probably wasn't the best place to do that. definitely have that message in the movie. Just don't hold my hand. It felt lazy at times where I'm like, dude, you know, I got it. I can't spoil it, so I won't say that. But again, I felt I really want Ken's sweatshirt at the end of the movie. Mike knows what I'm talking about.
You can actually pre-order it on Mattel.
Okay.
For $60.
Oh, get out of here.
I am Kenuff. I do want one too. Everybody wants one. $60.
Dude, oh, Jesus.
Dude, I was the only one that laughed at that part.
I am Kenuff. And then I love Sublime.
That was so, oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so you can literally pre-order I Am Kenuff, his tie-dye hoodie. It looks like a tie, multicolored hoodie, at Mattel for $60. Oh, I actually want one. Everybody wants one. Like,
that's so expensive,
movie.
Though. $60 is brutal.
For a hoodie.
For a hoodie nowadays, that's actually pretty good.
Fair enough. Not $100, too. Yeah, no, and it's funny because he wore it for like a split second, and that's all I saw.
Yeah, and everybody wants one. Right? Like, damn, talk about marketing.
Yeah. My wife, I think my wife did not like the movie more than I did. That's for sure. She was very clear about that.
Well, it's because like she's a fan of the Barbie dolls, right? And then like
I think it took her out of the enjoyment of the toy itself. A lot of that. And, you know, that was something that she said, too, like, because we were talking about the Barbie movie and the Lego movie. And she was like, yeah, she's like, I feel like Lego movie was way more inclusive with its audience than the Barbie movie handled it. And I was like, oh, I said, okay. So take that as you will. If you end up seeing the movie, I'm curious to know what you guys think. But yeah, no. So there was moments in it where I thought it was funny, and there was moments in it where I thought it was like really dumb. And I guess, dude, I guess I saw on TikTok, like, I think the girls are in the trailer, but like the brats were kind of introduced.
Yes. Well. Yes. So, I think it's the teenage daughter with her friends
at the table, right?
They essentially look like the brats dolls. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess they have the same names. And I think, see, that's what I'm talking about. Like, that's one scene where they didn't have to hold my hand. I found that out through word of mouth. And I think that makes the movie that much more special if that's the case.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because fans of the toys would be like, oh, that's totally them. Makes total sense. Same look, same everything, same names. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, oh, cool. That's a nice hidden gem for the audience.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's my spiel on it.
Cool.
Awesome.
So, yeah. That's the first in the new MCU, the Mattel Cinematic Universe. They are working on the next one is the Polly Pocket movie. Lily Collins will play Polly Pocket. So that'll be interesting.
What else does Mattel own?
Hot Wheels.
Oh, please give me a Hot Wheels movie, dude.
Rock'em Sock'em Robots with Vin Diesel. That's what that one's in.
He-Man too?
Been announced.
He-Man is Mattel.
He-Man lost. I think Netflix was supposed to make, it was like 28. They put 28 million and they canceled it.
Yeah, well,
so that's been in limbo.
It sucks because the first season, like, it lost my attention. And I was like, this is like not what I was
looking for. No, but like the rights still belongs to Netflix or?
That's a good question. Well, we are gonna get a season two of Kevin Smith's Masters of the Universe. Yeah, okay. But for the live action He-Man, the most recent one was supposed to the most recent He-Man was supposed to be played by Noah Centineo, who played Adam Smasher in Black Adam, and he's been in a bunch of movies as well. He's in The Recruit on Netflix.
He was supposed to be He-Man.
He was supposed to be He-Man.
Oh, get out of here with that crap.
Yeah,
really?
Well, I thought he had potential. He was already starting to bulk up, I think. And then they canned that one. And then the most recent Netflix.
To be honest with you, I think John Cena would be perfect for He-Man.
No, stop it. If we're going to pick a He-Man as of right now, people might disagree. But Mr. Adam Warlock from Guardians, I think, might be a good pick.
Okay, I can see that.
As of right now. That's my current idea.
Oh, the British kid? Whatever he
is. Yeah, Mr. Eyebrows.
Yeah. So this is from Variety.com. Masters of the... this is posted on July 18, 2023. Masters of the Universe movie dead at Netflix after at least $30 million in development. Mattel is shopping for a new buyer. Exclusive. Oh, so Masters of the Universe... live-action movie based on He-Man and a slew of other popular Mattel toys is officially dead at Netflix. Insiders said that close to $30 million has already been spent on development costs and the cash that's been shelled out to hold on to talent. Like previously announced lead Kyle Allen and the film's heat-seeking directing duo Adam and Aaron Nee, who directed The Lost City. Other knowledgeable sources estimate all-in costs for development at twice that figure. The latest headaches for He-Man and Friends only further complicates the property's torturous journey to the screen, one that goes as far back as 2007. It's a long road that's crossed through two other studios, Warner Brothers and Sony Pictures, and countless writers and directors like John M. Chu and McGee. The latest implosion at Netflix, according to five individuals with knowledge of the project, was over budget concerns. A spokesperson for Mattel confirmed that Masters of the Universe is no longer at Netflix, but did not provide any further comment. A Netflix spokesperson had no comment. So, yeah. And fans have been waiting for that one because right now, Mattel has restarted basically the He-Man action figure line, back in 2020? And those have been selling out. The collectors are everywhere. So they're just waiting. They're waiting for the new movie. I know there's also an animated, a more kid-friendly animated series of He-Man on Netflix currently. So you know that kids have seen it. Another iteration, you know, of He-Man.
Okay.
And the Masters of the Universe. So whenever...
They should bring back everything from the old 80s cartoons, all the weird-ass characters and shit.
They were right. The old 80s cartoon is still on Netflix, isn't it? That's where I watched it last.
It may be, or they may have taken it out. You know how they do their rotation, or they take it out.
I just need to buy the series, dude.
You're better off. So at least you have it at all times, and you can watch it whenever. So the other properties that they own is... American Girl, Magic 8-Ball, of course, Masters of the Universe, Major Matt Mason, who I'm not familiar with.
Isn't that like the reiteration of G.I. Joe?
Most likely, yeah, because Hasbro owns G.I. Joe. So Major Matt Mason sounds like a G.I. Joe. But it'd be funny if they pretty much parodied G.I. Joe.
Don't they have Mattel has Stretch Armstrong, right?
I believe so. Let's see.
Dude, that would be an awesome superhero movie, to be honest with you.
Yeah, if it's done right. I mean,
I don't know. He plays a stuntman, and then all of a sudden, like, he got these powers, and then, you know, and then it just started working and all that stuff. And, like, you know, and then he'll end up, like, being, you know, how people, like, stretch the toy out. He'll be doing that stuff. Like, it'll be more of a funny one instead of, like, a serious superhero movie.
I think we're long overdue for a Hot Wheels movie, man.
You know, like Fast and Furious style, or
I mean, see, that's the thing. When Mike mentioned that they were part of Mattel, I'm trying to think of like what kind of story could you do? I mean, you could almost do anything because it's so vague. You just have to include cars.
All the cars, all the tracks,
The tracks, yep, that's
like the
important.
little, like, you know, flippy whatever stunt
Those
tracks and
maybe like the
stuff.
old classic like shark and dinosaur tracks that they have, you know. I remember the old animated ones when I was a kid, but man, they were so bad, dude. Even when I was a kid, they were so bad.
I mean, like,
Yeah.
I like, you know, the remember the when the Wachowskis did the Speed Racer? I can see Hot Wheels looking like
Oh,
that.
dude, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
I know a lot of people dog on Speed Racer, but I thought that was actually really well done.
Oh, that was cool.
I liked it.
I
Like,
love that movie.
people
It was
just didn't like
cool.
it because, like, the Wachowskis were very religious to the anime.
But
But
that's how
isn't
it
that how
should
it's
be.
supposed to be? No, I know.
Yeah.
No, but even the corniness, because, like, you know
Oh, God.
how corny the cartoon was.
But
You know?
that's what made it so good,
They
dude.
were faithful to the source material.
I
Super
was perfect. I
faithful.
was one of the ones that said, like, hey, you know what? I enjoyed it. It was very, very good to the story, and I was perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, and maybe it's just a case of like a lot of the people that watched the movie, like that were
They
growing
were
up at the time, didn't watch Speed Racer.
no, and they were expecting it to be like the Matrix, just because it's, you know, it's the
Oh,
Wachowskis.
that's so
You
dumb
know
though,
how it
dude.
was,
But like,
right?
I know, but it's just again, it honored the anime really well, dude. Like,
It was
it
awesome,
was
to be honest with
shot
you.
for shot sometimes. I'm like, wow, this is really good. And the actor they chose, I thought was
And
fantastic.
then the soundtrack was awesome, like
Oh, yeah.
the actual song and stuff. So,
Yeah.
yeah, I mean,
Huge
like,
fan.
the Mattel universe has like a very good potential. And
So Major Matt Mason is actually an astronaut.
oh, okay.
Oh.
Yeah, so kind of think like Buzz Lightyear. So this could be their Buzz Lightyear without being Buzz Lightyear, I guess.
Mike, what about Care Bears? Is
No,
that
they
Mattel?
don't own Care Bears. They own Thomas and Friends, Thomas the Train. He's
Ooh.
been on TV forever, dude. I
Yeah.
think he's got enough showtime.
Yep, they own Viewmaster, Uno,
Oh, dude, Uno the game, Uno the movie would
the
be.
movie.
No, everybody will get like a set of cards, right? And it'd be like a, you know, it's like a contest to each other. That'd be kind of cool.
And Barney, they own Barney.
Oh yeah, you gotta skip that shit.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So some other movies that are out right now that came out this weekend. The Haunted Mansion by Disney. Did you know that your favorite Jared Leto is in The Haunted Mansion? He actually play he
I
plays
hope
one
not.
of he plays the hat box ghost, so you don't really see his face.
Is he really in the movie?
Yeah, he's really in the movie.
Oh
He plays
man.
the hat box
See,
ghost.
way to ruin the movie
I
for
was about to
Justin there. He
say, you
wanted to
pre-ruined the
watch it.
movie. Yeah.
He wanted to
So
watch it now, and now he doesn't want to do it
I
anymore.
don't know, but that's the thing. I don't know if we get to see his face or if it's just motion capture.
Doesn't matter. That
Because
man's voice. It's
Jamie Lee
over.
Curtis plays Madame Leota in The Crystal Ball, and you can see her face
Oh,
there.
okay. All right. No,
Yeah.
but yeah, now that you mentioned it to Jester, like, he's not gonna watch the movie anymore just
It
because
breaks my heart just a little bit. Yeah, I'm not gonna
it
lie.
seems.
I don't know
Did you
if
hear about the Tron 3 casting update?
No, I
No.
didn't.
Oh shit. Okay.
Oh, dude.
So you know how
Is
your favorite Jared Leto is going to be in Tron 3,
so he got
right?
kicked out, right?
No, he's there. He's still there.
Damn it. I thought you had good news.
They did announce Evan Peters
Okay.
and
All right.
everybody's favorite Jedi, Cal Kestis, the bestest. He's going to
That's
be in Tron 3.
two good actors right there, except for Jared Leto.
Yeah.
That's brutal, man. I
Yeah. Yep. What's
Maybe
his
he'll watch
name?
it on Netflix or something.
I probably will, yeah, because I don't know if I Jared Leto, dude, he just needs to stop already.
Yep. What's his name? Cal Kestis. Oh, Cameron Monaghan. Yeah, there you go. There
He
you go.
needs to be a live action Cal Kestis already.
Oh yeah.
Spoilers.
That would be cool.
Spoilers. Spoilers in my mean Ahsoka, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, there's a possibility, but I doubt it. Because
Yeah, because Dave Filoni would put Cal Kestis in
Hey, you
Ahsoka.
know, you never know, 'cause, you
It's
know,
like,
Dave Filoni and like can do
this
whatever he
is
wants right
Rebel
now, you know.
season five, bitches.
Right.
I'm just
It
saying, like, you
is.
know, I'm just saying, just because, you know, Dave Filoni, you know, he doesn't fail, he doesn't do it, you know, he'll just like, you know what,
Yeah.
Just what Cutco says, right? Just for shits and giggles.
Be like, nah, that's too much video games for you guys. I'm gonna introduce you guys to a famous Star Wars Legends expanded universe character that'll blow your socks off.
Yeah, I don't know, dude. I have a feeling too. Remember we were talking about the Lego set and the name?
Right.
It's a little too close to Merrick.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, one of the Sith Inquisitors.
Well, no, it'd be Imperial Inquisitor.
Imperial Inquisitors that faces off Ahsoka with the mask, the really cool looking mask. That character's name is Marrok.
Yeah. Isn't it spelled so differently from Merrick? It's so close.
Yeah, Merrick as in Galen Merrick, Marek. But this one is more like Marrok, Marrok. But a lot of fans have been speculating that it could be the secret apprentice himself of Darth Vader.
Yeah. And it's like, because why not just call him like the 20th brother? Why do you give him that name? That's
right,
just like,
right.
If Dave doesn't do that crap.
Yeah, because they're usually brother or sister, the first, or the second. Yeah. Interesting. You
know, just call him third cousin or something.
Yeah.
The third cousin.
But no, he gets to be Marrok. So whoever that is, if that is Darth Vader's secret apprentice, then holy shit, that would be fucking cool.
If I hear his voice, dude, I want to lose it.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like he, what's his name? Sam Witwer has had a very good working relationship with Lucasfilm. He's been the secret apprentice for the video games. He's played Darth Maul's voice in the Clone Wars and even Emperor Palpatine. And so there's a good chance that Dave Filoni, got him back to return to now play in live action.
Great. Get to see the like double reverse scripts now. It's awesome.
Fuck yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, he's got his the double-handed lightsaber. Oh,
yeah, he has the double blade spinning lightsaber. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Double spinning reverse.
All they gotta do is raise that spinning lightsaber above their heads and fly up in the sky. Can't wait. But yeah, Ahsoka looks at him and is like, what the fuck? Like, and she blocks that shit.
He's going to have to stand on his own against her. I'm curious how that's going to go.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll see. You know, it is her show, so chances are she might win.
Yep.
So they did have San Diego Comic-Con 2023 last weekend. Absolutely no movie studios, of course. They all pulled out at the last minute, essentially, because of the writers and actors strike that is still ongoing, which was really weird because Hall H for the first time was vacant. They barely had any panels there, and you usually see pictures and videos of Hall H, the biggest hall at the San Diego Convention Center, filled with thousands of fans, especially when they do their
Comic-Con
trailer premieres.
It actually feels like a Comic-Con, like with all just...
Right. The focus went back onto the vendors, the artists, the writers, the comic book writers. But what that does is that it packs all the traffic of the con goers out into the main hall without Hall H. Because when Hall H was doing their panels, especially when it's like the Marvel block of, with the slate, and Kevin Feige comes out to show him his bigger dick than from before. Here's my movie. Here's the cinematic universe that's going to come coming soon.
I mean, after phase four, I think his dick kind of shriveled a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Oh, speaking of which, Secret Invasion. Secret Invasion just ended. I really liked it. The last episode was like, okay, it's suffering from the same, and it's like, and what I'm seeing from a lot of people as well online is they're saying like, stop making these shows 6 episodes. You gotta stretch it out a bit and build it up, but everything leading up to the 6 I thought was great. I really enjoyed, I really liked a lot of the characters' dialogues and the scenes with each other. When there's just two characters talking, some of those moments were very solidly performed
super
and
good,
written. Yeah. So, and then of course, now spoilers, if you haven't seen it yet or you don't care, Rhodey has been a Skrull.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying since Civil War.
No, but he has not.
That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying since Civil War. A lot of fans can't seem to accept it because, like, are you telling me this the same Rhodey that lost Tony Stark in Endgame? Like, so
what?
Yeah, which is like, that's bullshit.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't,
dude.
Right? It doesn't. And that's why I was like, that's bullshit. Supposedly, according to the director,
they're just rewriting everything right now just because they don't know what to do with the characters and whatnot. Like, their timeline is so jacked because of all the stuff that happened, and with all this time travel bullshit that they did in Endgame, it just fucking ruined everything. Like, right? Okay, again, correct me if I'm wrong. When I saw Endgame, Thanos went back in time, correct?
Yeah.
He went back in time and he did the snap. They did the snap. The Hulk did the snap and snapped everybody back, correct?
Right.
Yep.
And then that's when Thanos attacked because they were in the past. So this was 5 years after the blip or before the blip.
Okay.
Right? So what the fuck is the timeline for the blip? You know, all the after the blip, like, you know, that Captain America series, that, like, all of these things after the blip right now. So if they defeated Thanos before the blip, what the fuck?
Well,
you know what I mean? I'm just like,
no, I know your struggle right now.
I'm just like right now. I'm like, okay, I understand what you guys are trying to do, but again, you guys have two separate timelines right now. Make up your minds. Are you guys gonna combine it in Loki? Are you guys gonna do this in like in some whatever? You're gonna figure it out because right now it's broken because everybody's like just confused. I'm confused, okay. And when it comes to like Marvel stuff and you know like comic book stuff like this, I'm normally like okay, I can understand, I can follow, but I just don't get it. But Secret Invasion, I told you guys before, it was it's a boring series in the comic books, and. They like the acting was like there was parts that was so good. The guy that portrayed what's his name? Gravix?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
he was awesome up until he became a regular MCU villain.
He's when in the Barbie movie too, isn't he?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's there. Yep, that's him.
I knew I recognized that guy.
Yep. Yeah.
So he was great up until the part when he killed his minion when the minion questioned him. And then he became a regular MCU villain. So I was just like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, just
like, you know,
fell flat, man.
They just sold out and you know all that stuff. The lady in MI6, she was fantastic. She was fucking amazing.
Olivia Coleman, she was great. Yeah, she was great.
She was awesome.
Was great. Yeah.
Sam Jackson in certain scenes was awesome. Rhodey, you know, he was awesome. Like there was like pockets of awesomeness, but the problem was there's pockets that are meh.
Yeah.
And for me, like it made the series mid just because of it.
Okay.
It just, you know, like I could care less about the graphics. I could care less. It doesn't matter to me. Like, you know, people were complaining about the graphics and shit. And I'm like, who cares? Tell a good story. I can understand the graphics because you know I know the issues with CGI right now because of all the you know the overtime that everybody had to pull. But you know, just like you know, like tell expand more on the reasonings and all that stuff, like you know, the betrayals and whatnot. You know, a kid being disappointed at somebody who made a promise to him to find a home for them, and then all of a sudden he just wants to be a terrorist. That's not really a good You know what I mean? There has
I
to be
thought that was good
more.
motivation. That was good.
I mean, there has to be more than what it was.
I thought it was good until it fell flat at the end. I
I was
mean,
hoping that Maria Hill was alive still, just because of the fact that I wanted her to be like, oh, psych, like, because Rhodey was the fake Rhodey was like hanging it on Nick Fury's head all the time. Oh, I have the video, I have the video, I have this. And then
yeah.
all of a sudden, like, Maria Hill shows up. What
But
are you talking
see,
about?
the good thing about this show was it had consequences until the end.
Yeah.
Like, it had real
Yeah, like
consequences.
Talos. I thought Talos was coming back. Like,
Dude,
nope, he's
right.
done.
Yeah, and I'm
Like,
like,
oh, shit, I
brutal, man.
guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but like, again, he showed like one last act of heroism, because like at that point, like, Nick Fury had no idea who to trust, right? And then
Yeah.
at that point, like, Talos was just like, you know what? Let me fucking punch the shit out of this bulletproof glass with all my might. I don't know. Skrulls have super strength or enhanced strength more than humans. They can punch through that easily. But I guess the bulletproof glass is a little bit more tough than
Well, yeah.
normal. I don't know.
That's
It's a
from
little stronger.
the what do they call it? The beast. That's the beast right there, isn't
Yeah,
it?
the president's
Yeah.
convoy. Yeah.
Yeah, but dude, like, if somebody that has like super strength or something can punch through that shit, man, come on.
Yeah,
Because
maybe it's made out of
it's supposed to
adamantium.
withstand a rocket.
Yeah, there you
Yeah,
go.
so I don't think so.
So
Yeah, I
is
don't know.
Gaia is now the most powerful being in the MCU.
It's so
Yeah.
bad, dude. Why
She's
they
got
do
Captain
that?
Marvel's powers. She's got fucking Drax's arm.
Plus more.
It's
Good. Oh
so
yeah, there's
dumb,
Groot.
dude.
Groot, what else?
Plus more. Plus more.
She has like all of them.
She has all of them. She has the Wakanda Forever fucking like vibranium shit.
Okay, so she has powers from the following heroes and villains: Ghost
Yep.
from Ant-Man, Captain
Yep.
America, so she has the super soldier serum,
Yep.
Corvus Glaive.
Yep.
Thanos, really?
They're just the strength, not the
Oh,
snapping fingers yet.
Outrider, Proxima Midnight, Captain Marvel, Abomination, Mantis, we saw that, Cull Obsidian, Black Panther, Drax, Korg, Ebony
So,
Maw.
yeah. So basically, it's mostly like super, strength. It's like a strength build for
Oh, what was that
Diablo
move with,
4.
what was that move she was doing? Captain Karen's move, dude.
Yeah.
She's so, she's literally broken now. It's like, what is, why? Why'd they do that? Ah,
Oh man. And then
ruined the show,
there were
dude.
the memes going around saying like, oh, Emilia Clarke now stars in two mid-season finales. I'm like, holy shit, dude.
Oh
I'm
yeah,
like, damn.
I'm upset with how they ended it, dude. I didn't like it. It sucks.
Yeah, I was just like, I guess.
Mean, like
Yeah.
the episode prior, like when he dressed back up into Nick Fury, the one that we knew, with the overcoat and the turtleneck and the eye patch and all. I was like, oh, okay, shit's about to go down. Like he has backup, right? He has backup now. He has people. So I was assuming it was like Maria Hill, all these other people that he trusts, they're gonna come down from Saber and all that stuff. But no.
It was a massive tease, dude. Five episodes and then just for what? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. It just, it's sad. It's sad it ended that way. I'm bummed. I hope for better.
So now I'm curious, are we gonna see Gaia again? Probably not. What? Like,
Maybe in the Marvels, I don't know. Maybe in Secret Wars.
see, so supposedly the Marvels takes place before this because
Yes.
Maria Hill is supposed to be in that one. So if
It's
she's in that
before.
one, yeah, she's still alive.
So I'm sure she'll be a big baddie in the new movie.
Secret Wars or something. I
She'll
don't know.
probably carry the heroes to victory. I mean, because if she doesn't, then it's wasted. Why? She's like literally the most powerful person now that we know.
Right.
So it's almost like unnecessary to have any other Avengers around.
Yeah, why need them when you already
Yeah.
have them all in one?
You got it, lady. You got it. Take care
But
of it
see,
for
I
me.
wish there was a caveat to that. Like, there's only a limit, or you know, like
Yeah.
You can't just have all his power all the time.
What would that do to the body? Regardless of what species you are, dude, you just explode.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, there has to be a limit to it. Like, otherwise, and it's like, okay, I guess.
The only thing that makes it kind of make sense is that she has the way, like, she went in the machine before. You know, she became pretty much immortal before.
Right.
And so, like, I guess that kind of makes sense. But it just feels like a lazy cop out. Like, you gave her all that power. Why? Yeah, right. I don't know. Yeah, I can't. I don't know. It's so dumb. It's almost like pointless for me to argue about it.
Like the monologue prior to that when you know, before Gaia got the powers was awesome. Like when Gravix was talking shit to Nick Fury the whole entire time. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Like, like for me, I was just like, oh man, like, you know, this guy has chops. You know, it was awesome.
And then his dialogue was like Andor level dialogue where it was really good for Marvel.
I was telling Mike that you know, in the second, was it the second episode, Mike, when he said whoa, the way he said war, I was like, oh shit,
and he's pumping his chest or whatever.
I was like, whoa, and I was like, oh shoot, whoa, that's the first time I heard somebody say war like that, like, okay, whoa.
And then Shooter McGavin died.
Yep, there you go.
I'm like, not Shooter McGavin.
He got shot by MAGA people. Okay. Like, right.
Oh, I thought that was cool. The whole insurrect, like, people are just like randomly like turning killing on him. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, like, yeah, if you fucking send a message like that without even further proving that, like, are they a Skrull or not? Like, can we capture them first and like find out? Like, holy shit. Yeah, I'm like, holy shit, that was pretty crazy. I thought that was cool.
I mean, that's one way to figure out, like, if you're a Skrull, not just shoot them.
So. Can you shoot them in the arm first? Or, like,
shoot them in the foot, because like, they'll turn Skrull. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's a lot harder to aim than you think.
Nah, right. I
wish that's how it worked. Just shoot them in the foot.
Or there should have been, like, a fucking test or something. Like, whether it's glasses or fucking like something that they slap on them.
They had an opportunity. They had an opportunity to make Secret Invasion look like, you know, you guys remember that 80s movie, The Thing?
Yeah. Oh, the OG, yeah.
Yeah, like if they came like just a smidge close to that movie, it would have been amazing. The show would have been amazing. But no, you kind of knew who you know, the people were already. And I was just like, you know, it's Disney predictability. It's, you know, cookie cutter. You know, like, you know how Disney loves to be just like, yeah, let's just give them this. So just like, whatever. And we'll put some CGI and call it a day. And we'll just collect our millions here.
Well, but it's the lowest viewed show, so...
People are getting tired of superhero stuff. So,
well, right, that's now. The thing. There isn't really, this is the first MCU show without really any superhero title in it. There's no superhero. It's not named after a hero or any Avenger. So I think that's part of the lackluster viewership, because it's like, oh, Nick Fury. People don't
wasn't this like Kevin Feige's baby? This was the one that he wanted to do, right? Secret Invasion.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I know he's got a plan, so we're leading up, we're building up to something. Where's my new fucking Avengers?
Because that Deadpool has to be a home run, dude. It has to be.
Oh, you know that will be. You know that will be.
If it doesn't work, if they fumble that somehow, my god,
they're not gonna fumble that now, especially now that they're taking a break because they halted production because of the strike.
Oh my god!
So. That's already a home run. You know it because they already have, with Hugh Jackman in the yellow and blue suit, it's got everyone excited. So,
I don't know.
And the marketing machine for X-Men 97, the animated series, the continuation, has already begun. So, you're going to see.
They should have just left it nostalgia. Where it was at the end. I don't know.
I can't even remember the end of that show. So, it's been a while.
The end was like the crystalline attack, I think.
I remember the Shi'ar Empire.
There was the
Yeah, that was fucking cool.
It was the crystalline attack, I think.
That was Where's that in live action X-Men? I want to see that shit.
Or the Shi'ar Empire?
The Shi'ar Empire. Fucking get. Yeah, you want to do Phoenix? Fucking do Phoenix and then the Shi'ar Empire fucking after her. Then the X-Men are to, like, stop them.
They can't do that because, you know, Magneto, you know, and the Apocalypse, you know,
Dark Fucking do Phoenix. That shit. Do it.
Nah, they should. It's minor league thinking. They think of like the bigger, like, you know, Shadow King is a much better enemy for the X-Men. Freaking Nimrod.
Oh, because Magneto and Apocalypse isn't exciting.
No, but Nimrod and the Sentinels. How about that?
Oh, the Sentinels again.
Oh no, I mean again, like make it better than what it was.
Sure, I guess.
That's the reason why Days of Future Past was amazing, was because it was the Sentinels and Nimrod.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't the weird ass fucking Shadow Cat time travel, you know, time travel your mind shit. I was like,
oh, that was cool.
I was like, Shadow Cat doesn't have that kind of powers, but sure, okay.
Well, now she does. The 76 Shadow Cat too in fucking live action X-Men.
I know. I was just like, Jesus, like, you know, like, I was like, you guys are stretching this too much, but sure. Well, because, like, you know, because Wolverine is your boy, and you want Wolverine to save the day instead of Shadow Cat, which in the comic books Shadow Cat was the hero in that. So
yeah, but everybody loves Wolverine.
I
can't
don't
resist the Hugh Jackman.
I don't.
Oh,
he's,
yeah.
He's a secondary character.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Yes, he is.
That's clearly what happened in the live action. That's why he's only been carrying the X-Men movies.
Yeah, well,
and he's gonna fucking bring Deadpool 3 to $1 billion.
It's the Boba Fett effect, to me. That's again.
No,
you can't be comparing
Wolverine to Boba Fett.
A certain portion of the fan base absolutely loves the character, and they want him to be in up front, because, you know, in the majority of the time, because blah 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 this, blah 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 that. Sure, okay, then they did that. They did that for the cartoon. They did that for the 90s X-Men movie. They did that for the 2000 X-Men movies. They did that for the 2010 movies. No, why don't we give it to the original fucking people? But no, like, you know, they made Cyclops into a little bitch. That's an issue.
Well, Hugh Jackman has got so much charisma too, so that's why everyone gravitated towards him.
Well, fuck that guy.
And wanna fuck be Wolverine. An X-Man?
No. Yeah. But like, yeah, I hope they do X-Men right, because the comic book X-Men right now is amazing. Like, people are loving it, and these are like the new fans also. So these guys are like, oh yeah, we know Wolverine is part of the team, but he's not the team. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So people get confused when they see the cartoon, like, oh, Wolverine and the X-Men. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So what's the next Marvel project? It's the Marvels, right?
The Marvels in November. It was actually supposed to be out now, because the McDonald's Happy Meal is out right now, but of course they can't push that back. So they moved. I remember last year when they announced they're moving the Marvels to November, but all the merchandise is coming out and all the promotional stuff is going on right now, because I've seen, the new Captain Marvel Legends action figure. I saw it at Target.
So I guess Pinhead's only reason to watch this movie is to see her in a tank top, right? That's pretty much
sure.
It.
Sure. It looks fun. It looks fun to me. I like the power switching. I like that aspect. And we're gonna get some dancing on that dancing planet with Prince Yan. What's his name, Mr.
Park Soo-joon?
Korean drama, K-drama, who's getting his own Funko Pop as well and his own Happy Meal toy.
Yep.
I'm like, okay.
So I have to tell Annika. Hold on.
Okay.
PSJ is gonna get his own Funko Pop toy because of the
PSJ. Microphone. I didn't hear. I've never heard that one before.
And Annika says that will be her first Funko Pop.
There you go.
I would actually ask you to purchase it for me, and then I'll reimburse you so you can send it over to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I know you're gonna buy it, so.
For well, I'm gonna buy it for Julie, not for
I
me.
mean, I know, but no, but I, but then buy it for you know, buy an extra one for me so that yeah. I can, you know, I can understand. So
yeah.
And then yeah. Dude,
yep.
The this guy's like this movie's gonna make like absolute like a train robbery in the box office just because of his popularity. If his scene is only is more than like 10 minutes, if his scene is more than 10 minutes, it'll be it's over. It's gonna make $1 billion.
Oh yeah, it's gonna draw. Yeah, it's gonna draw them in. Fucking Ninja Turtles. What's his name? Donatello is a BTS. Is BTS Army?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, in the new Ninja Turtles movie.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Yeah, and then
wait, she's a girl, right? It's huh? Donna. That's Donna. It's a girl.
Donatello.
Donna, right? It's a girl.
No, Donatello's a boy.
No, but like the in the new movie, the cartoon, that's a girl, right?
It's a boy. They're all boys.
I thought one of them was a girl.
No, you're talking about. I remember from the cartoon. Yeah, there was a female Ninja Turtle that they introduced.
No,
but no, like, all like, they're all played by guys.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that one, for the Ninja Turtles movie, as well.
Yeah, it looks fun. Like when I saw the previews, I was just like,
it looks like fun and a return to like good storytelling.
Yeah, Seth Rogen and his weed-induced stories about Ninja Turtles.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it. Fucking Elon Musk took away my Bluebird app, Twitter, and it's now X on fucking Twitter. It's now cool. So what are we calling tweets? We're calling tweets X's now.
No.
Hey guys, I did an X.
Hey, I still have Twitter.
Yeah,
I think I'm gonna delete it, honestly. Now that it's like on my phone, and I just think it's the laziest name, dude.
It is.
It's the laziest name, and like, what was wrong with the old one?
Yeah,
the old one was great. Like,
yeah, he's just flexing right now because he can do whatever he wants with this company.
I get that, but like, dude, come on. Like, I understand the changes you want to make. The name and the logo probably wasn't a good idea. It's so ingrained in societal mental capacity now.
Isn't it in the Oxford Dictionary tweets? Tweet?
Yeah.
A tweet is
yeah.
A...
I'm pretty sure.
And you change it to X. How lazy are you, bro? Honestly, how lazy is that?
He is in the spectrum, you know. He's kind of...
Which is whatever. But like, dude, you're smart enough to know changing the names and piss people off.
So I don't know. I don't know if we can call that smart or.
I don't know. I think I might get rid of it. Honestly, like I was keeping it because, like, you know, it's beneficial and a lot of people are on it and stuff like that. But like that name change just like it irked me. I don't know why.
I just post memes in it. I don't do anything anymore.
It's like I don't know.
I found my safe space in Threads. So.
are you guys keeping it for a while?
Or Threads?
No, the
X.
Yeah, I'm keeping it for a while.
I have it. Yeah, I'm gonna keep it. Like I don't care about the thing.
It's just become a habit that I've gotten used to browsing through it and looking around. Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah.
That's where I find my juicy gossip about, like, you know, pop culture is through X.
If you guys find out how many people do leave because of the name change, I'd love to know. And again, I don't know. This is just my personal problem with it. Other people could be like, whatever. You know what I mean? They could be indifferent. They could care less. But I'm just curious.
Yeah, my safe space right now is Threads. So I post nothing but positivity over there.
We went so positive there. Because X is Twitter is just like such a cesspool of bullshit. Like,
You know, and then everybody's getting all protective about it too. Because, like, you know, like if you guys want to argue, just go to Twitter or go to X. Don't bring that shit here in Threads. Yeah. And I was like, wow, that you guys are kind of mean.
Take away that bad juju.
I know. Shoo away. And I was like,
that's hilarious. That's hilarious. Yeah, because everyone's like wants to keep it like nice and clean.
I this doesn't matter. I got for me that's another social media thing that I, you know, exposed my data in. So I'm like, whatever. Mm. What's the worst they can do? Like, you know, make my credit score lower than it is right now. So I don't care.
Yep.
Fair enough.
Well,
That's probably why I don't get attacked too much. I know as soon as they see my credit score, they're like, "Ew." They're just like, "Yeah, like let's help this guy out. Let's build his credit." Shit, I feel
well,
bad.
alrighty, that's all I have.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's the show.
Yeah.
Should be able to come back for next week,
Yeah.
hopefully. I still want to check out Oppenheimer.
Me too.
So
Hopefully,
it's gonna be
you
playing,
know.
so it's gonna be playing for a while.
I might wait a couple weeks, Mike, just because I don't know. I'm gonna let the hype die down maybe a little bit because it again, all those showings are booked,
Oh
and it's like, you know,
I heard about like there's like a scene in Oppenheimer that really would really like just really either piss you off or depress you or something. There was
I guess the movie is depressing at the end of it,
well,
and
yeah.
I think it's I'm kind of glad that they're going over the importance of like how the people around it felt. I think that's important,
Right.
you
Yeah.
know.
Yeah.
So I'm glad they're doing that. Oh, I forgot to ask you, Mike. So I saw you got the Blue Beetle bucket.
Yes.
They had that at Cinemark?
Yes, they had it last night.
Because I got the tin. Oh, dude, that's so cool, bro.
It's exactly the ship. It is the ship. And then when
Oh.
you can open the back wings. So I'm gonna pose this with my Blue Beetle Funko Pop.
That actually looks great, dude.
Yeah.
I'm impressed with how good that looks.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it looks really cool.
I wish nothing but the best for that movie. It looks like a fun ride.
Well, hey,
So,
Zack Snyder tweeted about it and said he was excited to see it.
wow.
So,
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry, Mike. So you caught the reference too in the movie, right? Barbie movie.
Oh, yeah, that was hilarious.
I was so taken out. I was like, "Get
That
out of
was
here!"
hilarious.
He's
And
like,
that's,
they're talking about Zack Snyder.
Warner Brothers
yeah,
still can't let that go, dude.
yeah. And that's why, like,
Gosh.
there's that meme. Like, we're trying to have people forget about the Snyder Cut, and yet we just mentioned it in our biggest movie to date. So I'm
Yeah.
like, and
Yeah,
that's the
dude.
thing. That's what I liked about the script and the story of Barbie, the fact that they were also making fun of a lot of things, and yet Mattel just went with it.
Yeah.
Even Mattel. They were making fun of Mattel straight up and like the corporate, you know,
Everything.
company.
They weren't
And
afraid to throw themselves in the fire, which I thought was cool.
yeah,
I
they
honestly
went with
think
it.
the powers that be in Warner Brothers should just do a public apology and just like let everybody know, hey, you know what? If Zach wants to complete it, we'll
Well,
have a conversation. You know, like
the
I
thing
know it's
is
dead.
that she
I know
wrote
it's
it. So that almost seems to me like
like
she was part of all the drama around that was going on, and she's kind of like backing him up a little bit.
yeah, I
Could
guess
be.
that
I
that
don't
well
know.
she mentioned in an interview that everything in the movie is everything that she loves, like she has an appreciation for.
And
So yeah.
everybody enjoyed his vision, right?
Oh,
So
the
that was
Snyder Cut. I haven't talked
yeah.
to a single person that watched the Snyder Cut and was like, "Eh."
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
So, you know.
But I just thought that was ironic. I when that line hit, I was like, "Oh, Mike's gonna get a kick out of this one."
Oh yeah. I knew it was coming, but when they said it, I'm like, yeah, there we go.
Yeah, man.
Yep.
But I was gonna ask you too. Where's the Indiana Jones tin we were supposed to get, dude? Because they had the Blue Beetle one there, and I got that
Yeah.
one.
I think they had the tin for a while and then it's gone now.
Really? Because when I saw the Indiana Jones movie, dude, all they had was like the flash buckets left,
Wait,
and then
yeah.
that was.
So the Indiana tin was supposed to be the device?
No, so like, you know, every movie, well, not every movie. So the popular movies that come out, there's Cinemark is exclusive for the tins, right? Am I ignorant in
Usually,
speaking
yeah,
of
they
that?
have the tins, yeah.
So they have like a tin for advertising the movie, you know, and
Wait,
it's
was it the
like,
hat? Is it the hat or is it the device?
no, so it's
No.
literally just a tin bucket, and then there's like art on the side of it,
Oh,
you
okay.
know, and then
I thought it was like something like the Blue Beetle, like the one that like
no. So those
no.
are like the more expensive. I didn't even know Cinemark was doing that one. I thought that was like an AMC thing.
So with the Blue Beetle, with this one,
Yeah.
I don't know if the employee made a mistake. It seems like she did, because I got the souvenir cup as well. This was
Oh.
20. This alone is 25 without the popcorn.
Hey,
So I was
but
prepared to pay 25. When
yeah.
she charged me, we had a small popcorn, we had this, and we had the Blue Beetle souvenir cup. He only charged me for $19 and something. And she asked if I wanted the receipt. So I asked for it just so I could see, like, what did she charge me for? And it said Blue Beetle tin with souvenir cup combo.
But no, the tin is charged, $16.
She didn't charge you with the popcorn.
I think she made a mistake. She made a mistake of thinking this is also a tin plus the cup.
But you also have the membership discount.
That's right.
So remember, that takes a chunk off.
Yeah.
This
is really cool. My son loves this because he's excited for the Blue Beetle movie.
Oh, it looks great, dude.
Yeah, and it's the ship. It's actually the ship. So I remember seeing this ship when I first read The Death of Superman, when Doomsday fucking sees it flying in the air.
Oh, yeah, and then he threw a tree. It was a tree. I think either a tree or a light post.
Yeah, I'm going to pose my Blue Beetle Funko Pop or McFarlane action figure in front of this. But I'm like, yeah, this is fucking cool. As soon as we walked in, I saw it, I grabbed it. This is going to sell out.
Friday night. Where was that?
Right when after you scan your tickets, they had they had the stand with all of these. They must have added it on Saturday. Yeah, because I saw someone post about it and I was like, holy shit, I hope they have it. Because I want to get it before it sells out. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Speaking of Superman, guys, have you guys seen the cartoon yet? The one on Max?
The anime, right?
I've seen 3 episodes and I'm enjoying it.
So it's good?
I think it is.
It's a fun watch.
I love the anime aspect. I thought they blended it perfectly with the sci-fi of Superman.
Okay.
It's a fun watch. It's not... I mean, like, you know how TikTok is gushing over the relationship of, you know, like that thing with what they're talking about. They're talking about Lois, you know, the boycott Lois and the Boy Scout Kent, you know, Clark Kent and all that stuff. And I'm like, that's their normal shtick, you know, like,
right.
There's always flirtations. There's always like things like this. But then, like, you know, the little twist that they did was the fact that she's not infatuated with Superman. She's just curious because she just wants the interview. That's the only thing that I was like, oh, that's kind of a fresh take. Just because
I'll check it out because is there like crazy spoilers or no?
Nah,
no. But I like the fact that they're playing on Clark, Lois, and Jimmy working as a team together.
Okay,
because Lois is technically not a full fledged reporter yet.
No, she's an up and coming. Yeah, she's just starting basically.
She's just an intern.
So what year is Superman? 2, 3?
This is year zero, year one.
Yeah, like very
not even a year.
Yeah,
not even a year. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So,
but they made it like real time because like you know like Jimmy has his podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay, so they made it like today.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And then, shout outs to them for introducing Intergang as the very first.
Yeah, that was cool. I really like that.
Livewire and Intergang as the first villains and stuff.
Silver Banshee.
Yeah. So I was just like, oh, that's kind of cool. I was like, oh, like,
yeah, I'm digging it.
These guys are kind of doing nice.
And so. I like the look of Krypton and Jor-El. I'm like, fuck yeah, that looks cool. That looks cool.
Okay, I'm on because when I saw Adult Swim was doing it, I was like, you know what, this might be pretty good.
Yeah,
you know, they're pretty keen on their animation stuff.
So. Yeah, they did a good job. And then what's his name? The dude from The Boys plays Superman.
Huey.
Oh, Jack Quaid plays Superman.
Yep.
And he's really popping off, huh?
Yep. Yeah, and he's in Oppenheimer too.
He's in Oppenheimer, dude. There's so many people in Oppenheimer,
and so is Josh Peck, supposedly. Like,
yeah, and I found out Gary Oldman's also in it too, and I was like,
"Holy shit!"
Oh my gosh, dude.
Damn, dude. Yep,
the cast is insane. Yeah,
well, I mean, if Nolan asks you, "Hey, you want to play a bit part in my movie?" Sure.
Yeah, so, exactly. You should say yes.
Matt Damon was doing an interview, and then he was doing couples therapy, and his wife told him, like, hey, you need to take a break from making movies. And Matt Damon just said, can I have, like, one caveat? And he said, if Christopher Nolan calls, I go.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, he didn't know. He did his break. He was on his break. And Christopher Nolan calls. And so he's like, gotta go.
Yeah.
Gotta make it. Like, I'm like, holy shit, dude.
You know, whatever.
Well, at least he had a caveat. I mean,
Mike,
I
right. Rebel Moon comes out December, right?
December 22, if I'm not mistaken.
What do you think of
right
it so
for
far?
Christmas.
Like, what? No,
it
what do you?
looks
What do you?
fucking fantastic. I'm excited. Those fucking ships flying over the
Are you
farm,
are
the
you
field.
getting a little nostalgic about like you know like what his vision is gonna be like you know like
Who's
if they
Zack
greenlit
Snyder?
if they
So
greenlit
we're talking about Rebel Moon right now, right?
yeah, Rebel Moon.
like you remember
Okay.
like he had a vision of what he wants to do with the with Star Wars, right? Like you
Yeah.
know like the trailer like when I saw it, I was when I was watching it, the little teaser thing that they did, and I was like, ooh, this would have been a kind of like a nice
Would have
different
been a
approach
change
to
of
Star
pace.
Wars. Yeah.
And the one concern I have with his, again, I'm a super excited to see this, but the one concern I have is their version of the laser swords. I'm a little concerned about that.
It looks nifty.
Well,
Like you
it's
know
like
I
it's
like
like an arm
the
attachment. It's not like the actual weapon, from what I
yeah
understand.
the I know but the thing the cool thing is like the sharp edge is the only red. Like everything else is like
Right. And like I
For me, I
like
was like,
that.
that's kind of cool. I was like,
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I agree with you. I like that he's not going like full laser sword, you know what I mean?
Right.
He's doing his own little spin on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly when he approached Lucasfilm to do his Star Wars, they told him he has to use legacy characters. It can't be rated R. All this bullshit. So he was like, okay, it wasn't gonna work out anyway. So he's doing his own thing, which I'm totally all for. Like, yeah, you don't want to restrain a creative like that if they want to, you know what I mean? Yeah, like
I like
it's
that he
like,
said no. Honestly, I mean, as much as I would like him to do something now, I like that he said no because I can't do it the way I want to, and I think that's appropriate.
right. It's like
Yeah.
telling Christopher Nolan, you got to use CGI, but he doesn't want to fucking
Right.
use CGI. He wants everything
Right.
to be practical, which I totally respect. Like Christopher Nolan even admitted he doesn't have a smartphone.
Right.
You know, and when he writes
On the
like old
typewriter.
school on a typewriter, if I'm not mistaken, or a laptop without any internet connection, which
Yeah.
he doesn't want to be distracted. And I'm like, yes, please, by all means. Like he pure cinema,
Yep.
film, like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, we need artists like that. We need artists to still embrace the past and still move towards the future, but at the same time, still
Yep.
respecting, you know, the art form and where it's been and where it can still go.
It's the
So
differences that we get to enjoy these movies because the differences in them.
exactly. And the visionaries of these directors, like you have to let them do their own thing. That's why you
Right.
hired them, right? Like
Yeah, but then people get the money up their butt and they're like, but you know what? This last movie made a ton of money, so do like that. Right.
Just have that trust. If I
No,
was
yeah.
a studio, and I know like you know there's like some pressure with because of the money or the time and all that stuff,
Right.
I would be concerned also, but I would ask the right questions. I would be like, hey, you know, do you guys need some more assistance? What's going on? Like, what's taking so long? What's going on with this thing? You know, and whatnot. You know,
Well,
yeah, you have to,
corporations,
yeah,
they're
you have to
figuring
show
it out right
interest.
now.
Yeah.
They're figuring it out that like it's too stale because they've done this like same thing over and over again and forcing their creators' hands. I think they're figuring it out.
Yep.
But that's the somewhat optimist in me, I guess, but who knows? I'm sure we'll find out.
Yeah, I'm hoping like there's more creative stuff coming out. Like again, I love superhero movies. I grew up watching them. I'm all for it. I'm all for cinematic universes and all this stuff. But do it right. Like
Yeah.
don't give me the same cookie cutter bullshit.
Yeah,
You
for
know.
sure.
Like you know, I know everybody need it deserves a everybody deserves like their you know their beginning you know arc and all that stuff. But you know, some of us fans that we don't need that shit anymore. Right.
Yep.
So I mean, like you
Yeah.
know, do we really need like a you know like a beginning arc for the X-Men? No, because like we know the X-Men already. Let
Yeah.
let's do a flashback and then let's do that for like 5, 10 minutes.
Hey man, I hate again, that Flash I think had the
Yeah.
best change to like
Right?
origin story.
That was refreshing. Right.
Yeah.
It was different.
So.
Which oddly enough, it is number one right now on digital platforms that it's been out. It's currently number
See,
one.
I don't know. If they didn't fuck, you know, if Warner Brothers didn't fuck around, Two things that could have happened that Flash would have been a much bigger movie than what it is now. One, they should have had Ezra Miller apologize, do a public apology in front of media, everything, do the whatever spiel, and then nip it at the end of the butt because everybody loves a redemption arc. Like this guy fucked up, sure, understandable. He was on something, he was going through something. Okay, cool, let's work it out. Whatever, let's move on. Like that apology itself would have been a beginning of something that would have been awesome. Number two, they shouldn't have fucked around with Henry Cavill.
Yeah,
And
so that was a big doozy,
that was again, even if you didn't have plans for Henry Cavill, don't fucking fire him after 2 weeks of him telling him or telling everybody that he's back.
didn't they fire him on his birthday too, or something like that, if I remember right? Or
Oh,
was it
Superman's
close to
birthday.
that?
Superman's birthday. It was Superman's birthday.
I can't
It
remember. It was
was like
something
Superman. It
dumb,
was
dude.
Superman. It was Superman Day, I think, that when they let him go
They
or
did it
something
over
like
like
that.
a tweet or something like that. It wasn't even,
Yeah.
you know, it's like, dude, just you guys, Warner Brothers is so bad with how they handle their crap, dude.
They should have done that. They should have instead of like them being assholes about it. Like they should have said, "Hey, you know what? We want Henry Cavill as we love him as Superman. We love Man of Steel. We have plans for him, but not at the moment, because like our plans for the new Superman movie is this. So right now, we had a conversation with Henry, and Henry agrees with this. He's going to do other projects, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, but if we ask him to be back as Kal-El, and he agrees, then let's go." That would have been sufficient enough for any, honest fans that people would be like, you know what? Okay, I can understand. He's not going to get a project right now, but okay, I can understand. But the way they did it was like bullshit, dude. So,
Yeah,
yeah, agreed.
and that's the reason why the Flash didn't work out. Like, the Flash wasn't it wasn't a perfect movie. It wasn't a great movie. It was good enough to make enough money for Warner Brothers. It was good enough.
There was a lot of factors at play.
Well, too
Yeah,
many fucking free screenings too. Like,
that's true.
everyone
That's
fucking
another one.
already seen it three times.
Yeah,
Like,
no, I agree.
how about like instead of giving them the whole fucking movie, how about you know what? Let's give them like the first 30 minutes,
Kind of like how they do with the show, that you get like a few
right?
episodes kind of thing, so you're
Yeah,
saying.
yep,
but
yeah,
no, like
I get it.
they said, oh, let's just give them the whole fucking 2.5 hour movie.
Well,
At CinemaCon
they were trying. They were
because
like, they had a sinking ship and they were doing their best to get all the water out.
yep,
but
so
they should have found the plug or the hole and then plugged it in first before instead of like fucking grabbing the pail.
oh well, that's Warner Brothers.
Fucking idiots, but
So
whatever.
yeah, alrighty, gotta
Anywho,
end this
all right.
show.
Yep.
But it's been fun.
Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for joining me. Until the next time, see y'all again soon.
We
Bye,
miss you,
guys.
Pinhead. God bless you.
Mwah.